Lord just impressed on me today now. That's awesome. I'm going to do something that the Lord just impressed on me to do. One thing we learned that yesterday I had to flow in the Holy Spirit. My notes come up missing about scrambling for the whole sessions. Every note. And what ones I could find was scrambled. And we talked about the devil causing destruction and stuff. But Brother Art, it could have very easily been the Lord making me just rely on him. I'm not going to give the devil any credit. I'm going to give the Lord all the credit. But I began to think, and I knew the shofar was going to blow. And I did a little teaching on the shofar yesterday. But something really hit me when I turned around and I'm waiting on the ladies to come back through. And Bucky had done locked the door. But the Spirit quickened me real quick and said, that door's locked right down. But when I blow my horn, it's going to open. And I'm coming for my children. See, I did, like I said, I did a little thing. I wasn't even going to cover this. So we may be late. I'm sorry because I wasn't planning on doing this. But I just got to teach real quick what I taught on this shofar yesterday. Those of you that wasn't here, you'll see a little bit of what you missed. But this shofar is a picture of us as Christians in many, many ways. You see, this is nothing but an animal horn. It's cut off the animal. But in order to make it function the way it needs to function, there's certain steps it has to happen to it. And the shofar is very important in Jewish tradition, in God's tradition. It's very important. The first thing that has to happen after they cut this shofar off is that you got to get all the flesh out of it. Yeah. You got to get all the flesh out of it. What's that say to you as a human? See, after you get saved, if you're going to do anything for the Lord, you got to lay your flesh down. You got to get that flesh out of there. It's got to be cleaned up because there's no room for flesh. It has to be about serving God and walking in the Spirit and having the Spirit of God direct you. And you can't be directed by the Lord if you're walking in the flesh. I'm just telling you, you can't do it. So we got to get the flesh cleaned out. Well, the next thing that happens after they clean the flesh out is they'll take it and put it and bury it in sand and hot sand. For two reasons. Number one, the sand will dry it out, but also that heat will twist it and mold it. Oh my goodness, listen to me. You let God get a hold of you, and you done got all your flesh out of the way, and you say, God, I'm yours, and he's going to start twisting you and molding you into the shape that's going to make you beneficial to the kingdom of God. Yeah, that's what happened. That's how it's so much like us. And then the neat thing is the next thing they do after the flesh is gone and cleaned out and it's been twisted and molded or went through the fiery furnace like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Huh? You remember when the story and they looked in there and they said, but there's a fourth man in there that looks like the Son of God. I'm telling you, you may be going through the hot sand, through the hot furnace, but if your heart's right, the Holy Spirit is right there with you. God's walking right with you. And that's going to be the end result. We're going to be twisted and molded. What's the significance of that? Well, I'll tell you this. Those of you that's had a radical experience with the Lord, or not even a radical, but had an experience with the Lord, you let the Lord work in you and change you, I'm telling you, you don't look the way you used to look. Because something's different about you. People walk up to you and realize there's something different about you. You don't even know who you are. You change so fast a lot of times. Don't even understand it. But all you know is you want more of it. So the next thing that happens after that is that you're sanded down and you're polished to remove any imperfections to where it'll shine. See how shiny that is? How perfect that looks? It didn't always look like that. It used to be rough. Oh, I tell you what, it took a long time, and there's still rough edges on me. Now, y'all seen some old horns? I mean, they all splintered. And you didn't even hook your fingernail on them. I'm telling you, I had so many rough spots on me, and my wife says I still got a bunch more, and most people tell me I got a bunch, but I'm telling you what, he's still working on me. He's still polishing me. He's still making me pretty. I'm pretty in the Lord. And then the last thing they do is they drill a hole in the end of it. And it's called the hollow. The hollow. And this hollow, excuse me, I've been fighting everything under the sun, voice and all kinds of stuff. But they drill a hole in the hollow. And the hollow is a representation of our hollow. See, the Bible says that out of our hollow place will flow living water. We have a hollow. If you go back to the actual translation, to the actual Greek, Hebrew, the hollow is your inside, and it blows up through your esophagus. And so see, when you blow, and I can't blow it, I don't have enough breath, but when Pastor Greg blows it, or anybody blows it, you see the sound of the horn. And if, to understand it totally, you'd have to have been here to understood what the significance of the horn was. But I'll tell you this much, that Jewish tradition says that when the shofar's blown, the demons can't tell whether it's God talking or somebody blowing a shofar. Because Jesus said, at the sound of the trumpet, I'm going to bust them doors down, Bucky, and that lock ain't going to keep it. You hear what I'm telling you? Because at the sound of the trumpet, the eastern sky is going to bust open, and he says, I'm going to go get my children. Well, the sound of the trumpet was blown around the walls of Jericho, and they fell. And I'm telling you, the demons that has been fighting them, and the demons that have been fighting you, if you would just learn how to come out of the belly, out of your belly, and let those living waters flow and blow a shofar. See, we have our own shofar. Blow it. I'm talking about that's praise. That's worship. I don't know why I'm taught that. Somebody needed that. Somebody needed that, because I tell you, look at the shofar. God's gospel is so simple. That's what makes things so complicated. Everybody wants to make things complicated. But if you actually dig into God's gospel, it's really simple. It's a simple gospel. It's just, we just can't understand. We just can't fathom how it's so easy for me to just say, Lord, I'm sorry. Come into my heart and save me. And I'm saved. We just can't fathom it, because we want to work our way, and we want to do this and we want to do that, and we think we got to give thousands of dollars. But listen, he said, just come by grace. Are you saved through faith? All right, so much for that. I hope, Lord, burden me about doing that. We talked about, when we finished up yesterday, we finished up getting from the living room to the throne room. And on the throne room, at the throne room, the Bible tells us there's a sea of glass in front of the throne. It says there's numbers of people that cannot be numbered. It says there's elders, 12 on one side, 12 on the other. Old Testament saints, New Testament saints. We know that the throne room there where God sits, we actually illustrated yesterday, this was a war room at times, and how it was a war room? Y'all know, come on, talk to me. A courtroom, and what else? A mercy. But see, there's all kinds of things. It's it's a throne of worship. But we talked about all that, and we paralleled all of that. But we also know that according to the Bible, there's four-headed cherubs teaching, one on each quarter of the throne. We're going to discuss that. That was where we're going to finish up our teaching. It's because we learned yesterday that the anointed cherub that coveted, which was Lucifer, who Pride failed him and he fell. He had four heads. And we paralleled how those four heads is a representation of him. And it's also a representation of the Lord. And it's also a representation of us, because we all walk in that. We all. There's four heads. There's the ox, there's the lion, there's the eagle, and there's the man. So today we're going to finish up. Where's our girls? We got our girls? I just want one lion, I want one eagle, and I want, come on, one ox. In my mind. Woo! And one man. I got the man. I do the man part. That's fine. It's all I want you to see. Y'all gonna go back in just a minute. But I want you to see that these are the throne. They sit around the throne in there. Here, let's interlock. I want to show y'all something. Here. Okay, here. Let me lock right there. Come around right here. Come around right here. And the man's going to be right here. Now, these are what we're going to talk about. The Bible says that they are one on each corner of the throne, and they never rest. They constantly are saying, holy. And they turn, holy. They turn, holy. They turn. They're constantly praising God. Now, we got the lion. Yeah, you're a lion. But we have a lion. We have an eagle. It's not just an eagle. The Bible says it's like a head of a flying eagle. And then we have the oxen, the burden, the worker. The one that carries the burdens. We got the eagle that soars. And we got the lion that fights and walks in some anointing. And then you got the man. Those are four characteristics. Listen, if that was on the devil, that was on Lucifer. And you know what the Bible describes? Lucifer or the devil as a roaring lion. But I got news for you. That roaring lion ain't nothing for this lion. Because the lion of the tribe of Judah has done whoop that roaring lion. Okay? And the Bible describes Lucifer or Satan as being the king and the prince of the airways over the skies and the heavenlies. But this eagle soars. And he's soaring with the Lord because he's got the anointing of God on him and he's out there soaring. And I'm telling you, the eagle has done whooped the king and the prince of the airways. And we got the ox. The old ox here, always hooked up to a yoke. But the old devil wants to yoke you up with burdens. But Jesus says, I'm the burden breaker because my anointing breaks the yoke. And he says, come yoke up to me because my yoke is light. My burdens are light. So I'm telling you, we got the answer to it. And we that's some of the stuff we covered. Y'all can go sit down, take your mask off. I know they're hot. I'm hot up here and I know they're hot. But we're gonna shoot do something up here in just a minute. But I want to cover some things real quick. First off, I want to look at the ox. What is the characteristics of an ox? An ox he carries a load. He's a humble creature. Very humble creature, but he's a strong creature. But he's very humble. He's not aggressive, very mild mannered. You say, well, I know some people that are carrying and walking in that and they ain't humble and they. Hey, we're human. Sometimes we mix that humanity side and we're going to touch on that. But oxen is a humble creature by nature. They're not aggressive. They're not going to come after you. There you go. Man, he got filled with the Holy Ghost. Come on. I've seen them run. Peace sacrifice. Something else. The oxen was actually also used in the Old Testament as a peace sacrifice in number 7. Actually as a peace sacrifice. Okay. Oh goodness. Bless their little hearts. Now I want you to hear me. You cannot live in your Christian walk. cannot survive, you cannot prosper in your Christian walk without sacrificing it sometime. Now I want you to hear me. You can't live without sacrificing it sometime. This is one of the biggest avenues that the enemy uses to destroy us by getting to us but thinking of only ourselves. Because see, the oxen, the servant, doesn't think of themselves. They think of others. Jesus was a servant. Matter of fact, Jesus is all four of those. We covered that yesterday. We covered that. You can read in the four Gospels. He was all four of them. But if we're trying to think of just ourselves, and you're thinking, well, I'm not cooking for them because they're too lazy to cook for themselves, or I'm not going to go do this for them because they're too lazy to do it themselves, or I'm not going to mow that yard, or I'm not going to do this. But you feel like the Lord has put you in that position where you need to do it, but then you're trying to make that human judge. Listen, you're arguing with God. I know I've been there. And I'm going to be saying a few things here. Every one of y'all been there. If not, we're going to have an invitation here for a liar in a minute. Okay? So we've all done that. But in all reality, the ox is, in my opinion, the first place you walk in your new Christian walk. Now, because if you can't get that down, you can't get this other stuff down. Because the whole point was that Jesus came to be a servant. Listen, Jesus washed a bunch of nasty feet. And if the Savior of the world, the Son of God, can stoop low enough, Drew, to wash somebody's dirty, nasty feet, and we won't even lift a finger to help somebody, there's something wrong. There's something bad wrong. The picture of the ox. What does ox represent? It represents a crucified life. Crucified to the cause of Christ. Crucified life. Jesus said to yoke up to him and not the devil. I'm going to read two scriptures before I go on. Isaiah 10:27 tells us. It says, "And it shall come to pass in that day that his burden shall be taken away from off thy shoulder, and his yoke from off thy neck, and the yoke shall be destroyed because of the anointing." Now, that's, I'm telling you, because this is what it's talking about. Is Satan wants to yoke, wants to burden you down. But if you walk in the anointing, that anointing is going to break it. Amen. It's going to break it. There's not a one of us out there that hadn't been burdened down by what the devil has put on us. And many times we put that stuff on us ourselves because it's become such a habit. We've been beat down so much over the years that we've been told we were worthless and no good. And the work's already been done. The seeds have already been planted, and the devil is just letting them grow. Instead of you, as a disciple of God, chopping it off at its root and proclaiming the scripture that the anointing's going to break it out of my life. I'm no longer going to walk in judgment and condemnation. I'm no longer going to let what was said to me 25 years ago affect me. And we have to realize that if we can get in that anointing, get under that anointing, it'll break that yoke. Matthew 11:29-30, I love this one. Jesus is saying, "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your soul. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." That's the kind of yoke you need. If you got to be yoked up to something, yoke he's out there, Lord. Quit yoking up to the devil. Man, he's out there trying to put a yoke around every one of us. And every one of us, there again, we have an invitation for liars. You got to be honest with yourself. Every one of us has at one time or another been yoked up to what the devil's fed us. Today, we are to be in the yoke-breaking business. We need to break all them yokes off and be set free. That's the oxen. That's the first face we see. Personally, my opinion, We got to walk in the ox mode first after we meet Christ. Long before we ever get to the lion part. But what about the lion? The lion's the king of the beast. He carries a spirit of a conqueror. And I want you to understand, I'm talking about I'm not talking about like literally a lion, but I'm talking about the spirit of the lion that we walk in. He got the spirit of a conqueror. He has the ability to consistently win battles. He has the ability to overcome. You know why? Because he is powered by the Spirit of God. And he's walking, and all of a sudden you found a whole new anointing. He has the ability that no weapon formed against me will prosper. He can walk in that scripture. See, we like to quote scripture and we like to walk in scriptures, but there's always conditions on those scriptures. And I'm telling you, I hate to tell you, but most of us take those scriptures out of context and we try to fit them and mold them into our own situation to fit our own selfish needs. But it's just like it one says, he'll give me the desires of my heart. Oh, and I desire a BMW and a new brick house. And listen, when you get the heart for God, you're going to want what God wants. And when you start wanting what God wants, he's going to know what your desires are. And he's going to give you your desire, because your desire is to please God. And if it happens to be a BMW that pleases God, hey, he may give it to you. Or he may even allow you to get it. But I'm just telling you, we gotta get focused on what we're saying and what we're talking about and what we're claiming. Oh, when we're in that lion mode, we have the ability to stand, having done all that we can, and just keep standing till that battle's over.
That's right.
See. We might be wounded. We might even be bloodied a little bit. But because I'm walking in that spirit of a lion, fueled by the power of the Holy Ghost, I will survive. I will survive. All through the ages, the lion has been the symbol of being a conqueror. You go and just do a little search. I've done a lot of searching in the last 6 months on some of this. And all these foreign countries, and even, you know, even families, they put the lion on their family emblem, because it's a sign of being a conqueror. It's a sign of being a winner. But I want you to understand, you may be bruised, you may be bleeding, but brother, if you're walking in that anointing, you're going to come out shouting praises to God. Thank you, God, because I won the victory, and I won the victory because of you. I praise you for giving me that, because you didn't win it on your own. That's going to be your first mistake when you start walking in the lion mode and you start thinking it's all me. You know how I know? I ain't coming for the invitation for the lion. I've done it. I begin to think it was all me. Ooh, man, that hand. Ooh, look at that hand. It's got such an anointing. Hey, we've all been, yeah, see that seam jerk? Ooh! Brother, that's a mockery. You know what I'm saying? You got to get real with yourself. Because you can't, listen. I can't duplicate the real thing. I can just imitate it. That's what the devil is an imitator. Yeah. Brother, I learned a long time ago, that's how it got me out of some of the every bit of things I was in. I started praying and said, God, I believe your word. And I want every bit of your word alive in me. If it's out there, I want it. Man, and it shook my world. It shook my world, because I'm telling you, God's got more for you than you'll ever realize, but you just got to want it. And he'll slowly put it into you. Because, man, I went on overload real quick, man. All of a sudden, I just went crazy. Thinking, man, I didn't know God worked like that. And immediately, I get so zealous that I'm wanting everybody else to get what I got. Before I know it, I done run everybody off thinking I'm one of them crazy religious people. I had to come back in. I had to find my balance. Find my balance. We also talked about balance. yesterday. So the lion anointing comes from that. The next one was the eagle. Excuse me. But it wasn't just the face of an eagle, it was a flying eagle. The eagle can fly higher than what I believe any bird around. They may be one, I didn't research that, but I've heard people say it flies higher than any bird out there. I don't know, it may be another one, but I doubt it. But the eagle flies high. He has the ability to see for miles. And when you're in the eagle mode, you're soaring with the Lord. It's the only way I can describe it. That's when you've done prospered. God's done, he's done blessed you. And all of a sudden you're feeling that anointing. And man, you're on cloud nine, as we say it. You're flying. The eagle is being such a unique creature. He can lock his wings back. And man, he hits that wind and he starts soaring. And he can overlook everything, see for miles. I looked at that and I thought, Lord, why does the eagle see for miles? And it's like the Lord said to me, he said, it's discernment, it's anointing. It's like the gift of prophecy, that when you're in that eagle mode, you'll be able to see what I see. Whew. He's the king of the air. And the one thing I like that I found out about the eagle is that they thrive on a storm. See, we don't ever want to go through storms. But when you're in an eagle mode and that storm hits, they just lock those wings and they pick up all that turbulence. And it just makes them fly higher and higher and higher. What does it represent? It represents being exalted in the Lord. It represents prosperity and success. See, I mean, we've all gone through that. We go through cycles where God's prospered us. Man, you believe that, man? I fixed 10 cars this week. Got 12 more next week. Oh, man, I'm in that eagle mode. God's blessing. Man, looky here. I sold 3 houses this week. Can you believe that? Most people only sell 3 houses in a month. Man, he's blessing me. I'm in my eagle mode. He's blessing me. And man, I'm on a roll. Here, let me make out my tithe check. Because you're being obedient. Here, let me go help somebody on the street. That's the eagle mode. Prosperity and success. Everything's going so good that you're sitting up there in those heavenly places. Now understand, when Paul wrote that, Paul was sitting in the dungeon with human waste and with rats, and it's cold. And it was nasty. But he was so in tune with the Spirit of God that he said, I'm in heavenly places. So I'm telling you, it's not about your surroundings. It's about that personal heart thing. So everything's going good. You're in heavenly places. God's hand's on you. God's hand's on you. God's blessing is all over you. And God's favor is all over you. And you just know that you've served him and he's blessed you. And you didn't have to give $7.77 or $777 or you know, just to get somebody to pray over you. Because I have a problem with those people who try to sell God's blessing. God's blessings is not for sale. We talked about the lion, and we talked about the ox. We talked about the eagle. But now comes the man. Now comes the man. But I want you to know something. God's best creation wasn't the ox. You see, God didn't tell Christ, let us make ox in our image. God didn't tell the Son, let us make a lion in our image. God didn't tell his Son, let us make an eagle in our image. His greatest creation was man. He said, let us make man in our image. So what in the world is going on with a man? Because that's the weakest part. Do you understand that even though we're man, we do get to soar like an eagle? And when and in as a man, and I'm saying man, woman, that means it all in one, okay? I don't want to offend nobody or leave you out. But I'm telling you that as a man, we can soar as an eagle. As a man, we can carry the burdens of an ox. And as a man, we can roar like a lion and defeat the enemy. But man, what is that? It's our humility. But I want you to understand something. That's what God touches. He doesn't touch the eagle side of us. That eagle side is a blessing that coming from him, and that's when we get moved into that cycle that he's already touched us. And it's through our humanity that we transformed into that eagle. And so it's through our humanity that we transform through that. So it's what God touches is our humanity side, our human side. And when you're anointed, it's because God touched your humanity. And it's that anointing that makes you walk in the flow in those other capacities. But it begins in your humanity side. When you're blessed, it's because God touched your humanity. We forget, though, sometimes that we're not supermen. We go so at full speed when we operate in the gifts and the callings that we forget that sometimes the man side shows up and we get tired. And we literally get weary. I've known preachers that's collapsed in pulpits. I've known people that have just gone and gone and gone. And they keep going and going in that servant mode. They keep going in that lion mode. They keep going in that eagle mode. But you just keep going and you keep going. But your humanity side can only take so much. It has to rest. Even God rested on the seventh day. Why we see so many people working in the church and they work, and then all of a sudden they're sick for 3, 4, 5 days because they didn't listen to their humanity side. Can you relate to that? Yeah, I can. Yeah. We're not supermen, but it feels that way when we're walking in that anointing. It feels that way when the power of God's on us. It feels that way when we're seeing miracles, when we're seeing people's lives change, and we're the instrument. We've been submissive, and we are the instrument that God uses. But then when we go home, man shows up. Be honest with you. Yesterday was an incredible day. I've heard people, and I'm not saying because of the teaching, I'm saying it on my part. So many people, we didn't have a lot of people here, but we had issue after issue. And I knew if God was going to show up, I had to put the humanity side down and depend on him. I've known that all my life. I mean, I've known that out of the past 40 years in the ministry. That I have to get self out of the picture and let the Spirit of God come. And it was an amazing day because I just really felt God through every teaching. I was walking at times in that lion mode, and it felt good. I mean, I was roaring out his word, and I was standing tall, and I was rebuking the devil. And there was time when I was soaring. And there was even time when I was carrying some burdens. And it felt good. But after it was all over, I was sitting right back there, Brother Greg. You come by. He said, Brother Jim, that was so good. But you look tired. The human side showed up. See, I wasn't tired as long as I was up here teaching, just like right now. I'm not tired. I'm ready to go close hell down with a water pistol. I mean, I'm ready. I mean, I'm fired up. I'm ready for the Spirit of God to move and touch. Man, I could be here all day because I'm in that mode. But I know sooner or later the human It's going to show up. That's what I don't like. Because I don't like me as a human. I don't like me as a human. Because I'm frail. I become self-centered sometimes. I could become grumpy. I become bitter. I become angry. I don't like my side of the... I don't like it. I don't like that side. But the human side showed up. Let me tell you what happened. Finally, we leave last night. I go home. I eat a couple of those sandwiches that you sent home with me, Cecilia. I sat down in my recliner that I talked to y'all about yesterday in my living room. I went back to my living room yesterday. See, I was at the throne room all day. But I went back to my living room. And I said, I'm tired. And it's like everything in me was gone. And the next thing I remember is my wife about 10:30 trying to wake me up. I hadn't even took a shower. And I remember her finally saying, well, I'll just cover you up and you just go on and sleep. Well, I got up, just took my clothes off and got in bed. Knowing I needed a bath because I done sweated about like I'm sweating now. But I didn't care. And you know what? That's the side of me that I don't want anybody else to see. See, I don't like it when people see me stinking. Huh? We all stink. The human side, I mean, man, when she waking me up at 10:30, I probably could have blowed some bad breath in her face. That's the human side, whether you like it or not. I always said the reason there's so many bald-headed old men is because them old women got bad breath. It just burns that. But the human side. I'm telling you. We've all got them. We all can't be the eagle all the time. We can't. No matter how hard you try, you can't be the eagle. You can't be the oxen all the time, no matter how much you love helping people. There's sometimes you got to go back to your humanity. There's sometimes you're going to have to walk in some type of a different anointing to get fed. My wife saw the human side of me again last night. Thank God she loves me. But in all honesty, if you knew the human side of a lot of people, you wouldn't like them. Because see, you see him up here, Mr. Greg up here preaching, walking in that lion spirit. You see him up here teaching, and maybe he's talking about the eagle. But when the humanity side comes on, he's different. You know why I know? Because I know him. And you know what? I love him, even his human side. Because, see, if you can't love the human side, you don't need to be trying to love them when they're doing the other. Because, see, it's easy to chase the anointing. But when you, this is the most greatest creation of God, man. Now, I'm going to try to get you out of here for too long. Let's go to the throne room. Y'all ladies, y'all girls, guys, I don't know. Y'all got masks on, so I can't tell who you are. But I want to share with y'all what we do. No. You want to come? You got something you want to add? All right. I want to show you what we see here. And I want you here. Okay. All right. There you go. Let's lock arms. Right there. Lock arms right there. Okay, y'all are good. Actually, come up here just a little bit to the front. A little bit. Don't I don't want y'all stepping off. Y'all do that. Okay. Y'all turn. This is what I want right here. Okay. Now, of course, the Bible says there's two others back here. But for simplicity, I want you to see this. This is what we're teaching. Is that what we have is the eagle, the ox, the lion, and man. Same way over here. We have the lion, the eagle, little bitty eagle. I don't know who that is, be little. But that's okay. Don't let your size stop you, because with the power of God, you can glide anywhere you need to go. You understand that? The ox and the man. You're not bad looking for a man. But what we see here, this is the four faces. We went through all this yesterday, how each face represents Christ, how it represents man, it represents the devil. But we have the answer, which is Christ. So understand this. But the whole point is that I want you to understand something. The Bible says that they're here, and they constantly cry, "Holy, turn. Holy, turn." Y'all don't turn. Holy, turn. So what I want to point out is this. Is that as you see here, the man is facing out there, the sea of glass. This eagle is facing the sea of glass. The Bible says there's an amount of people out there that you can't number. We can number y'all, but I mean, there's a bunch more out there, okay? That we can number, you cannot number. There's so many people out there. There's 12 elders here, 12 elders there. And the cherubs are here, and they're constantly praising the God. Constantly praising God. But they see that right there. Now, when we look at this as the man part, it's easy for the man. It's easy for the man to stand and preach the word when he's got a whole congregation out there cheering him on. It's easy, Brother Greg, when you're there and you're preaching and everybody say, "Ooh, preach it, brother. Isn't it hard?" It's different from that. Preach it. It just seems like it just feeds you. It just feeds you. And you get the encouragement from that. The eagle, it's easy for the eagle to be soaring and she's soaring over all of things, and she just sees God's great creation. Awesome times in their lives. But you know what happens? The Bible says they turn. We go through a different season in our life. They say, "Holy, turn." Which? Holy. Okay, wait, y'all stay right here. Turn. Holy, turn.
Holy.
There you go. Now all of a sudden, we got different faces here. We got the oxen doing the same thing. It's easy to be the burden carrier when people are patting you on the back and saying, encouraging you on, you know. But sometimes when we're walking in that anointing, we just got to make sure we're doing it for the right thing, not for the pat on the back. Nothing wrong with the pat on the back. We need to encourage people. How did we get twisted here? Well, I didn't want two oxens here. But that's fine. We'll do the same thing. Let's turn. Stay right there. All right, now, this is what I want to point out. So the Bible says, that's what we got right there, facing out there. But I want you to notice we have cherubims here facing each other. Now, here's something that I really believe that hurts us a lot of times. Here's the eagle soaring above everything. God's blessing is on him. And I mean, and he is just flying with God. He's in heavenly places. But see, here's the burden. The one that's the servant. And all of a sudden, the servant sees the eagle in another anointing. And if we don't watch it, a lot of times this servant sees the eagle and says, God, I wished I had that anointing. I wish I could soar like that eagle. But I'm over here. I'm out here mowing the yard. I'm out here helping people. But I want to be soaring. No lying. We've all done it. We see somebody walking in an anointing and we get jealous of that anointing and we want that anointing. We're not happy with the anointing we're in. See, you don't know who you are. And you have to be careful that because see, this is what you got to do is you got to find out who you are in Christ. Because when you know who you are, you're going to find out where you're going. But if you're here still in serving in this mode and you don't know who you are, you're over here looking at every one of these over here wanting to do what they're doing. Make sense? I know. I shared with yesterday how when I started preaching, I wanted to run up and down the stage and throw my Bible like Jimmy Swaggart. And I wanted to dress as good as Pat Boone. And I said, God, how come your anointing's not with me when I preach? And he said, I don't even know who you are. Till you find yourself, you're not going to soar. Because see here, this oxen.
New.
You know, I'm hard of hearing. I ain't got no... Oh, gosh. You better watch it. He'll hit me with his horns. Huh, where'd you get them horns? You should. Oh, never mind. But you see, here's the issue I really think that God wants to deal with some of us. Is that when we get so wrapped up thinking like he's thinking, sure going to be hard for us to start walking in the anointing of the eagle. Even though we're sitting there drooling over it and wanting it bad, it's going to be hard to walk in the anointing of the lion because we can't get self out of the picture. We can't get the flesh out of the shofar. We got to get flesh to where, if this is where God now, be happy and walk in his anointing. Okay? Now, notice something else. Now, I'm going to go ahead and do this. This lion, according to what we read in the scripture, we know there's a multitudes out there. And we know that they're looking at the multitudes. And we know that these two here are facing a cherub, the eagle and the ox. And we see the man right here. But you can't see her head because she's too short. But the man here and the man here, you see where they're facing? The presence of God. Y'all know what it's like to just be in the presence. Just in the presence of God. Oh, that's when, I mean, you can just lay down and just be in the presence. And just soak it up. Don't want to move. Man, I've been under the presence of God so strong at times that I would just sit at the altar. Just couldn't move, Brother Gray. Because the anointing was just so strong. Something that I so long for. Unless you've been there, you don't even comprehend what I'm trying to describe. The anointing. But what really blows my mind is as we read the scriptures. Cherubs are cherub facing cherub. Cherub facing out the whole multitudes. Two cherubs, the heads here, facing God. But I couldn't find what this one's facing. I couldn't find what this one's facing. It seemed like it's a vastness of nothingness. You ever been in your walk? And one day you were soared like an eagle? Y'all turn. Holy and turn. And the next day you was working, carrying the burdens. Carrying the burdens for the whole church. Carrying the burdens for the whole group that you're pastoring, or carrying the whole family. You got your burden down, but you're walking in the anointing and God's giving you that strength to do it. And then all of a sudden something changes and turn. And then you step into that power, that line. And you're walking in that. But then something happens and all of a sudden you get in your car from preaching the most powerful sermon you've ever preached. And you felt anointing all over you. And you saw people healed. And you saw people's lives changed. And you get in your car to go home. And all of a sudden you feel nothing. Because there's been a turn. And you're here looking in open space. And you say, God, where are you? What happened? It's me, Jim. Talk to me, God. Makes you feel like Job. When God allowed that stuff to happen to him, we covered it yesterday. And God withdrew his protection from him. And God quit speaking to him. And God just backed away and let the devil just go at him. But God, where did you go? How come I can't feel you no more? Hello? You ever felt that? How come you're not speaking to me? It's emptiness. I liked what I read in the book of Job. It said Job kept his integrity. Because let me tell you, when you make that turn and you're not soaring like the eagle, and you're not carrying the burdens, and you're not roaring like the lion, and you're the man, y'all turn, and the man is here looking into nothingness. All of a sudden, all that you've got is what's already been implanted in you, and you had to rely on every bit of teaching that you've ever had, and something you got to keep feeding yourself, because God has, for some reason or another, given you a test, because he's silent. And that's where we falter. Because we immediately start thinking we've done something wrong. But what God's really, really trying to tell you is that he's saying, dig deep. Dig deep, because you'll find me there. Because I've already been planted in you everything I've got for you right now. And so you just keep focusing on finding more out about me. And I've not left you. I'm just silent. Because one thing I found in this study, even in nothingness, God created it. And he's still there. And I find strength when that scripture where it says, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Didn't say that he would talk to you all the time. And there's been times when I just needed to hear his voice, but he was silent. So I had to just keep digging and keep digging and keep digging and praying and seeking his face. And finally, 21 days later, like Daniel, the answer comes. My humanity, the side, the human side, gets so discouraged so quick. It's easy. It's easy to walk in the anointing It's harder to walk when God quits speaking. But it doesn't mean He's not there. He's growing you. And you know what? Let me, this one last thing. Y'all go ahead and get down. Thank y'all, ladies and guys. I guess y'all some guys. But one thing I know is this. Is that when I'm in that part of what I call nothingness, that's when I do my most growing. Because I feel like the Lord has left me, but I know He hadn't. So I just keep studying more and just keep thinking, well, Lord, I'm going to keep studying. I'm going to keep learning about You. And I'm going to keep praying. And I know You're going to show up and You're going to speak to me. And when You get ready to speak, I'm going to be ready to go. Because I've already got me another sermon put together. And when You get ready, I'm going to go. You understand? I got another study put together and I'm going to be ready to go. You may not speak to me right now, but I got a whole bunch of stuff inside my spirit already that You've already dropped inside me. It's just a matter of me just getting it out and using it. I even had this thought. That place might be the best place for us at times because we have to rely on God. See, I'm a fixer. I try not to be a fixer anymore. I always want to make everything better. I always want to go provide ministry to people. I always want to go do all this. But I've had to learn that sometimes I'm interfering with God, what He's trying to do. And we become an enabler instead of a fixer. And the truth of the fact is that we need to allow God to work. So before, I'm helping people. We need to help people. But we need to make sure we're doing what God wants us to do. We need to grow because, listen, some of my most powerful experiences in my life has come when I went through that time of nothingness, where it seemed like God had pulled His hand totally off of me, where it seemed like that everything I touched was destroyed. It's where it seemed like everybody I loved had turned against me. Where it seemed like that I could do nothing right. But I found out that when I just kept praying and I just kept seeking His face, that pleased Him. The life of a four-headed Christian. The life of a four-headed Christian. Work at all functions. But yet we're one. We're going to have a dance. Is she ready? We're going to have a dance. And I want y'all to just soak it in. It's called My Revival. I want to say this. I said it last night. I know Brother Greg's heart. And the biggest desire in his heart right now is to see revival. Yes. Revival starts from just one flame. I told you yesterday when I started this teaching that if we could just get one flame and let the breath of God blow on it, it would just explode. That was my desire. That's all I asked God in this teaching. I said, God, just let me do this teaching. Maybe we can see one flame that will be fueled by You and we'll see revival in the land. She's going to come. She's going to dance. Got your mic on. She's going to sing. After that, I'm going to ask our prayer team to come. And I want to have an invitation. Number one, I want to have an invitation. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, let's start it off right and let's get introduced to Him. Number two, maybe you just need to recommit your life to be in service to Him. You don't have to come talk to the pastor. You just need to talk to the master. Okay? Now, if you need to talk to the pastor, you come talk to the pastor. You need to talk to me, come talk to Brother Art, whatever. But I'm telling you, the key is talking to the master. I've preached my heart out yesterday and today. It felt so good. But I know the human side is going to kick back in. I'm stinking already. I'm sweating. But I'm going to go home and take a bath before I go to bed today. Some of us need to take a bath spiritually and get cleaned up. Okay? You come, Katie.